Today we're going to look at two aspects of God's grace. And we're going to start in Psalm 145. Psalm 145. You see, God is just. He's righteous. You know, the words in the Bible, just and righteous, are the same word in Hebrew and the same word in Greek. We have two different words in English. Here's a little extra for you. We get the word justice, just, from French, and we get the word righteous from English. And so back in the Middle English period, they took the French word and put it into English. So we end up with two words that basically mean the same thing. In the Greek and in the Hebrew, there's only one word, and that's easy. One Hebrew word, one Greek word, pretty much, that talks about righteousness or justness. But that's who God is. He's fair, he's right, he's just, and he doesn't play favorites. And in Psalm 145, look at verse 17, please. Psalm 145. Do you have it? Because I don't have it yet. Would you read it, please?
Psalm 145, verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways. This is the nature of our God. He is righteous in all his ways. That's the way that he is. Go to Psalm 9, please, the ninth psalm. Psalm 9. And in Psalm 9, and in verse 8, it says, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Maybe nothing in this world is fair, but God is fair. God is always fair. And the word of God says that he's going to judge the world in righteousness. He judges righteously. There are many people who judge. Everybody actually does some judging, but we can't all say that our judging is righteous, but God's judgment is always righteous. There's a place in Proverbs that God says that a false balance is an abomination to him. You know what a balance is? You know, you've seen those things, right? I wish I had one. We used to have a balance. I don't know what happened to that.
I have a food scale.
She has a food scale. That's not going to help. But a balance. Okay, so you know a balance. So you put something over here to, and let's say this is the thing you want to weigh on this side. And then on this side of the balance, you put something of a weight that's known. All right? So if it's a kilo, then you put a kilo over here, and you're measuring a kilo of something over here. And when those balances, you know, you add to this side or take away from this side, and when those balances are parallel, are in line, not parallel, but in line with each other, then you have a just weight. You know that this is a kilo of strawberries or whatever it is that you're measuring, okay? And God says that an unjust balance, a false balance, something that's used to deceive, is an abomination to him. Because God is always, always just. He also says about weights, you know, weights, the thing that they put on the balance, that you can't have two sets of weights. You have one set of weights. It's the standard. And if you got one dram of something, it's a dram of something, and that's all there is to it. People have different ways of evaluating. God's is always straightforward, always in balance. It's always right. It's always just. That's the way he is. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. So that's God. God is just. God is righteous. It's his nature. It's the way he has always been and the way he always will be. It's the way that God deals with saint and sinner alike. To him, there's no difference because his nature is one of justness, of righteousness. Romans 6 has something interesting in it. Verse 23. Romans 6, verse 23. But now being made free from sin. Wait, is 6, that right?
23.
Romans. That's what I wanted, Liz. Oh, the next verse. Okay. For the wages of sin is what? Death. The wages of sin is death. Wages is like the payment, the reward. We would think of it in this sense because it's negative. The consequence of sin is death. Not a slap on the hand, not a reprimand, not a payment of a fee and you go free, but the wages, the consequence of sin is death. Death. So the consequence of sin is death, and God is a just God. So we kind of have a dilemma here, don't we? Because a just God, if the consequence of sin is death, then people who sin, guess what they have to do? Die. Wow. So we have a little bit of a dilemma for God, who kind of wants people to live, yet he has to be just. Let's go to Psalm 49, please. Psalm 49. We're coming back to Romans, by the way. Psalm 49. So, you know, we have a little bit of a dilemma. All men sin. There's a verse in Romans that says, everyone sins and they come short of the glory of God. Everyone sins. What's the consequence for that? Death. That's as simple as it is. Psalm 49. Let's look at verse 6. Psalm 49 and verse 6. They that trust in their wealth, probably doesn't describe most of us, but if you happen to do that, they that describe that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, okay, all you people who do that, none of them can by any means redeem his brother. You can't redeem your brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. In other words, your brother does something wrong. No matter how many riches you have, you wealthy ones, no matter how much you got, you don't have enough to ransom your brother. And then it says in the next verse, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. Kind of a rough translation here in the King James. A bunch of other translations do it differently. Here's one that I looked up today. Since the price of redeeming him is too costly, one should forever stop trying. So he says, look, guys, you people who think you're rich, you think you can redeem your brother, give it up forever. Give it up forever. Now, that puts mankind in a tough spot. And it puts God in a tough spot. But God is just. Let's go to Isaiah 45, please. Isaiah 45. I was thinking about freedom, equality, something that we celebrate tomorrow on Memorial Day here in these our United States. But the true justice, the true equality, the true liberty that we have is what God did in Christ, because he is just. It's his nature. Isaiah 45, and let's look at verse 21. Isaiah 45:21. So we saw that God is just, and then we saw that man is guilty, and the penalty for that is death. Isaiah 45:21, tell ye, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. God is a just God, but Isaiah says here in verse 21, he's a Savior. He's a just God, but he's also a Savior. Let's go back to that Romans verse, okay? Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 again. God is just, but he says he's also a savior. Romans 6, verse 23. We read the beginning part. That was the sad part. The wages of sin is death. Sorry, we're all destined to die. But then it says, but, here's a good big but in the Bible, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life, the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the justice of God demands judgment. God's justice demands judgment, but the love of God demands mercy and grace. If you go to chapter 3 of John, the Gospel of John, the football verse, you all know it, but let's go there, please, because we're going to read two verses there. John chapter 3. The justice of God demands judgment, but the love of God demands mercy and grace. So what about our dilemma? God has to be just, and everybody's guilty. Everyone's got the penalty of sin. So what did God do? God had a solution. He found a substitute. He found a way to take care of the demands of justice. And being a just God, he had to do that. He had to be just to everyone. God's just to the believer. He's just to the unbeliever. He's just to the devil. He's just to the angels. God is just. It's the way that he is. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You're not going to die for your sins. This is what he sent him for, but to have everlasting life. What a contrast from death to not just eking by an existence, but from death to everlasting life. Now look at the next verse, 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. Remember in Isaiah, we read that God was just and that God was a savior. And he sent his Son to be a savior for the world. Two saviors working together for mankind's salvation. 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. There was a declaration of independence, the United States, what we know today, that they issued to the King of England saying, we're done with you and we declare independence. And they said that all men were created equal. They said a lot of things that gave us that what we have today is our freedoms in the United States. God sent his Son to take care of all of the demands of justice, to clear all the guilt of mankind for those that want it. It's really amazing. 1 Peter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, we saw he was just. We saw he was a savior, and here in God's word it says he's a God of all grace, who hath called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. After that you've suffered, you know, you're going to have a little trouble in this world. Welcome to the world. But he'll make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. What a God. That's a God of grace. He didn't just eke us out of death into some kind of existence. God says he'll make you perfect, establish, he'll strengthen, he'll settle you. He's a merciful, kind God, and he has a great, sweet disposition. It's his nature. It's the way that God is. And he'll make you complete and strengthen, and he'll cause you to be established. Wow. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. Right around the time that Christopher Columbus was sailing around the world, looking for a new trade route to the Far East, as it was called. He was looking for a way to get spices and things from the Asia continent back to Europe. Right around that time that he was searching for that, somebody else was doing a really big search. It was Martin Luther. Martin Luther was searching the scriptures. And what Martin Luther was trying to figure out was what people can do to be saved. Martin Luther had this driving desire in his heart to understand salvation. How can I be saved? And he was a very religious person. He was ordained. He would do all kinds of physical things to himself to try to make himself seem to be someone that God could have mercy on. He was looking to be saved. Well, Christopher Columbus didn't end up in Asia. He ended up in the Caribbean. A little off, but personally, I feel it's a better place. But anyway, that's where he ended up. Martin Luther, in his search of the scriptures, did not find a way for man to do something to be saved. He found out there was nothing he could do to be saved, but he found the grace of God. And that's what Martin Luther found. Neither of those guys found what they wanted, what they were looking for. Martin Luther found something fantastic in God's word, the God of all grace. That's the God that he found. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead," yep, we were, "in trespasses and sins," verse 2, "wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Verse 3, "among whom also we all had our manner of life, our behavior." We all lived this way in time past, "in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." We didn't sound so worthy of God's favor, did we? The children of wrath by nature? Really bad. Walking by lusts, walking away from God? Not a really great and worthy looking group that we were. But that's what God had to deal with. Yet John chapter 3 said he so loved the world. Let's go down to verse 9. Verse 4, "but God, who is rich in mercy," God who's got oodles and oodles of mercy, he's rich in mercy, "for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins," we were dead in sins, "he quickened us, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." That's amazing! It's amazing that by his grace, by his mercy, he didn't just get us a little bit above the death toll, but God said, "I gave you my grace, I gave you my mercy, and now I've seated you in the heavenlies." Good Lord. Holy catfish, I'd like to say. What did God do? God was able to take those that were dead in sins, destined to be dead, because everyone was guilty of sin, and to seat us in the heavenlies. That's a God of grace. I told you the justice of God demands judgment. He had to make a judgment because he was just. But the love of God demands mercy and grace. But that's not all. That's not all. I sound like I'm on a game show. That's not all, folks. Let's go to curtain number 3, Ephesians 2, verse 7. "That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us through Christ Jesus." He's going to take the rest of eternity, my friends, the rest of eternity, to show us this great riches of his kindness, God's great kindness. It's going to take all eternity for him to show us all that great kindness that he has. Wow. Verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, And just in case you didn't realize, that wasn't of yourselves, you know. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Remember those rich people he was saying, don't think you can redeem your brother? We got the great riches of God. And by his rich mercy and his rich grace, God saved us, seated us in the heavenlies, and will take all eternity to show his kindness to us. What a God. What a just God. He didn't break any laws. He didn't go back on his word. He didn't play favorites. What God did was make available to all the world, if they wanted it, to be able to be seated in the heavenlies and to spend all of eternity showing his kindness. I think many of you know the word mercy. Mercy is when you really ought to get punished for something, but it's withheld, you know? So you do something wrong, and rather than get the consequence, you get, well, okay, you have a pass. That's mercy. That's mercy. Grace, on the other hand, is his kindness, his divine favor, his sweetness of disposition toward us. That's grace. And God is a God of grace and mercy. He's a God who's just, who's righteous, and he's a God who's a savior. 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 2. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. See, God gave us grace so we could enjoy it. You get into God's family by the grace of God, right? Romans 10:9. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Got it. Whoo, hallelujah. We're going to heaven. Now we got all this grace. What are we doing with it? This is the second part I want to talk about here. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, praise the Lord, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You know, those words freely given are actually also taken from the word for grace. God graced us. He graced us, giving us this spirit. We have this spirit that shows us the great things with which he has graced us. Wow. See, it's bigger than just now you're in the club. It's bigger than now you've escaped death. What it is now is there's something that we have that's big for us to use right now. That's this great grace. So there's two phases. First is the grace that we received as an unbeliever to become born again of God's Spirit. And then there's the grace that we enjoy as a believer after we're born again. So what do we do with this grace? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. God is just, but God also is a God of great grace, of great mercy. And this is the God that we have. He's a kind God, and he has a sweetness of disposition. That's our God. So, Galatians chapter 3. Oops, I need to go back to it here. This is an awesome section of scripture. We are only going to read a few verses here. Verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians. Thanks, Paul. By God's revelation, he's saying, you stupid people. Okay? He said, who hath bewitched you? Who fooled you? Who fooled you, believers? He said, that you should obey the truth. They should not obey the truth. Who fooled you that you wouldn't obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. You stupid, who did this? Who bewitched you? This only would I learn of you. Tell me this. Riddle me this, Batman. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Well, we all know the answer, right? Which one is it? Works of the law? No, what is it? Hearing of faith. Okay? I know that's what you're saying. Verse 3. Are you so foolish, you Galatians? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? He's saying, believers, you are now believers. You are now God's people. We know before you got born again, you did everything you could in the works to try to look acceptable to God. And we found out there's nothing we could do to become acceptable before God by our works. But his mercy and his grace was great. His justness was perfect in having a substitute to die for us, his son, Jesus Christ. Now, you're born again of God's Spirit. So you think there's something still that you can do by your works to make yourself more acceptable to God? He said, you dumb Galatians, you think now you got the Spirit that you're going to be perfect by the flesh? Well, you're wrong. Now go down to verse 21. See, the Word of God isn't always ponies and daisies and ice cream. You know, the Word of God gives us truth that we need in life. And ponies and ice cream and unicorns and stuff. Galatians 2, verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. I do not frustrate. To frustrate the grace of God is to reject it. The nature of man is to repudiate grace. The nature of man is to refuse grace, to try to do everything that he or she can by the senses to make themselves seem more worthy. The nature. That's that nature that he talked about that we don't have to walk by anymore. But it says here, so I don't frustrate. I don't reject the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. God's whole plan of justness, his whole plan as the Savior to take us from the state of being dead to being able to be seated in the heavenlies and all eternity to show his kindness to us, that state that we get, this grace that we have, if we reject it, it's as if Jesus Christ died for nothing. We might as well just be dead in our sins, dead. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. So you know what? We do have eternal life after making Christ our Lord, believing God raised him from the dead. We have eternal life. And you can just sit on your fanny and enjoy it. Drink some pina coladas and watch The Grateful Dead. Now, what's that show that I hate?
The Walking Dead.
And watch The Walking Dead. You could do that if you want. But what are you going to do with the grace that you have? That's the question. Galatians chapter 5. I don't want to frustrate the grace of God, do you? You got all this grace. Now what, you're going to sit there and just say, okay, it's nice. 5:13. For brethren, you've been called to liberty, to freedom. Woo-hoo! Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love do what? Oh, damn it. Here it is. Serve one another. That's what the Word of God says to do. The Word of God says, look, I gave you all this grace, mercy. You have salvation. You're seated in the heavenlies. You have all of these rights and privileges as a son of God. Now, you know what I want you to do with it? Not just sit there and sit smugly and say, I got this and you don't. No, you know what we do? The Bible says serve. And we're going to see there's great liberty in serving. Go to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We have all this great stuff. I don't know about you, but I'd be kind of bored just sitting around thinking how great the stuff is that I have. I want to do something with it. I don't want to frustrate the grace of God. Look what he says about these believers. Chapter 8 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. He says, and this they did, not as we'd hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. These believers were just awesome. First, it says, they gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They said, Father, I belong to you. I serve you. Now, how am I going to do that? I'm going to do things for God's people. That's so beautiful. While we're in Corinthians, let's go to chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. True liberty comes from service. You can't get any more complete spiritually. You can't, because you already have it all. That Holy Spirit, that gift of God that came by his mercy and grace, that came by the death of his Son as the substitute for our sins, that which we have, that's something that you can't get any more of. You got it all. You're complete. Now what? Now we can use the grace that we have to bless others. We can use the grace that we have to glorify our God and to bless his people. And in chapter 5, verse 20, it says, now then, we're ambassadors for Christ. As though God does beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin. This one who knew no sin, Jesus, he made him to be sin. It says that we might be made, oh my gosh, the righteousness of God in him. Not only now do we have this great Holy Spirit, this gift, not only do we have the liberty that he's given to us, but now we have the justness of God, the righteousness of God. That takes away all the fear. Remember all those things God said to us today in manifestations? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I will take care of you. I will bless you. I will take care of your needs. I love you. I'll care for you. We have no reason anymore to be afraid. Be reconciled to God. We have the righteousness of God in him. And then look at what it says in the next verse. Chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. That you, he said, look, be reconciled to God. And now, don't you take this grace of God and receive it in vain. Do something with it. Do something with it. We're servants for God. You also do something with it. Romans chapter 6. Please, Romans chapter 6. To receive the grace of God in vain is to get born again and then do nothing with it. Yep, we got God's grace, the gift of God's grace. We have it forever. And now we have the holy privilege of doing something with it. Chapter 6, verse 16 of Romans. Romans 6, 16. Know you not, to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey? Then he clears it up for us what he's talking about. Whether of sin unto death, remember the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Or of obedience unto righteousness. He said, so don't you know you're servants to whichever of those two that you decide to obey? Even as born again believers, we can decide to obey sin. We can. And at times, yes, even you, Grant. Every one of us does. Grant sins too. Don't be so religious. Everybody sins. I can read it to you in God's word, all right? She thinks you're the saint. Well, you are a saint. Okay. It says here, you were the servants of sin, verse 17. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from your heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. And that's you and me. We are fellow believers, and we can decide to be fellow servants, serving our God. We're not just servants of God trying to make ourselves look acceptable to him. We are sons of God, acceptable to him already, who decide out of love to serve him. That's what we do with the great grace that he's given to us. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy. Be kind of bored. I don't know. Sort of like I think of people who sit around and count their money. How boring is that? You know, 1, 2, 3, 1,000,003, 1,000,004. What a boring existence. But to be able to use what we got, how awesome is that? We've got the grace of God. We have the ability to use it. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, I'm in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace. Do something with it, Tim. Do something with it. You got this grace. Let's be strong in it. Let's utilize the grace that we have to serve God, to serve righteousness. So there's two phases of grace. There's the first phase that we get when we're born again of God's Spirit. From death to life. That's a pretty good phase, don't you think? Now the second phase of grace. All you born again believers, fellow righteous people, we now have the high and holy privilege of serving our God, of walking in this grace and this righteousness that he gave to us. I want to close in Psalms, Psalm 84. This verse just really blessed me when I saw it the other day. Psalm 84. God has so many great things in his word. Someday we should read it and find out about them. Psalm 84. Psalm 84. We celebrate today, and I guess tomorrow, Memorial Day, the day that we celebrate people that gave their lives to give us the freedoms that we have in our country. But you know what? Really, our lives can walk as a memorial to that one who died for all men, Jesus Christ. God as the just God, as the righteous God, God as the one who's a savior, he sent his son by his grace and mercy so that you and I could have life instead of death. And now that we have life, we have the ability to serve him in righteousness, the righteousness of God. This one blessed me when I read it. Psalm 84, look at verse 11. Psalm 84, 11. It says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's our God. He's just. He's kind. And yet that God who is just and kind never overstepped any of the laws. He remained perfectly righteous. And he's given us this grace. So now we decide what we're going to do with it. Right? So that's what I wanted to share. I think I'll pray. Father, thank you so very much for your word. Just really just scratching the surface on this stuff, God, but what a blessing to look at this in your word. Thank you for giving us what you've given us. And Father, thank you also for giving us the privilege now that we have this salvation to walk with you. And what a joy that brings to our hearts to be able to bless people, to take care of them, to pray for them, to speak your words to them, to reconcile people back to you, to walk with you, Father, to manifest your spirit, and still knowing we're going to heaven, we're getting rewards, and all eternity you're going to give us your kindness. Well, Father, what a wonderful life you've given to us, and I just thank you for that. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.